And welcome to The Ordinary Knitter, the knitting podcast that's mostly about the projects. Find it on iTunes and now Acast through your podcast app, or subscribe via the feed link on the website. My name is Heather. You can find me on Instagram at The Ordinary Knitter, on Twitter as at The Ord Knitter, and on Ravelry at Ordinary Knitting. Hello and welcome to episode 66. This week, picking up, dropping and ripping out odds and ends, washing up scrubby success, experimenting with a slouchy hat and making some rather intimate items. I consider it a minor victory to be here again, less than a month after last time, after my 3-month hiatus, but I can't say I've achieved all that much in the meantime. Just before I get going, I should warn you that I'll be talking about making my own sanitary pals. If that's straying into too much information territory for you, then I suggest you skip this episode, and I look forward to having your company next time. I've finally finished off and woven in all the ends on the second baby sleep sack and hat. I just finished that today. I'm much happier with this version than the last. I think one of the things that bothered me so much last time is that I bought the yarn particular colourways expecting to do one with a continuously repeating stripe, and in the end I chose a different one without a stripe and ended up just doing 3 big blocks of colour, which was okay, but I didn't like it as much, and I really enjoyed the yarn I'd chosen for this one. So overall, I'm much happier with this version than the last, and the little hat that I chose to do a different hat than the one that comes with the pattern, and I'm really pleased with that too. So the baby's due in the next couple of weeks, so I'm pleased to have that all sorted out and ready to go when the balloon goes up. I was talking last time about fixing the sleeves on the Go With The Flow cardigan. This is the one I made, got the sizing all wrong, ended up giving it to my mother. They're too long and baggy for her, the sleeves. She turns them back on themselves up a good 6 inches. And in my mind, I sort of imagined just unpicking the woven in ends and voila, the sleeve simply unravelled to where I wanted it. But reality is so often quite different from what we imagine. I started off going all around the houses unpicking my bind off. I'd used a yarn over bind off, the same one I use for sock cuffs, that gives a lovely stretchy finish. I say ideal for a cuff. I tend to find that cuffs on the whole are just too big, but that's a whole separate issue I'm going to have to sort out next time I do that sort of garment. I say it's ideal for a cuff in as much as it's stretchy, so you're not fighting to get your hand through, but it's a right pain in the bum to unpick. Oh, what a nightmare. I swiftly lost patience with it, to be honest, and just decided I was going to cut the sleeve. It was sort of one of those decisions that I just went for it. Basically, I decided, and within about 5 seconds, I'd done it. I cut the sleeve back to about an inch or so below where I wanted it, thinking at that point, I knew I wouldn't have cut neatly across a single row of stitches, but I thought, once you've picked out a few odds and ends, then I can just pull it back to roughly where I want it to be. But no, this sleeve just does not want to come quietly. It's hardly cardigan weather in the UK at the moment, or anywhere else on earth from what I can see. So I've decided that for the time being, it's fine to just dump that project. And I'll come back to it in a few weeks when there's actually some realistic prospect of anybody wanting to wear it. The third project that I've been trying to deal with is sorting out this lovely skirt that my mother and I have made together but seem completely incapable of actually finishing off properly. My mum put in a row of toggles, which gives the skirt a kind of offset military style front, which I really like. I would never have dreamt that up. It was just meant to be a plain skirt, but it's sort of how it's ended up. And I really like that, and I like it for what it is. But now, because of where the toggles are, for some reason, the hook and eye aren't lining up properly. It seems it's a bit like square bashing. You know, you get one sorted out, one bit sorted out, and it pops up somewhere else. So the front isn't sitting flat now because this hook and eye aren't in the right place. So what I need to do, and I think I'm capable of this, is moving one half of the hook and eye into the right place. But at the moment, I'm completely blown up like a balloon. So I'm going to have to wait till I go back down to normal proportions before I can do that. And of course, by then, all this lovely weather will have stopped. So, reiterating my introductory warning, if you're a little bit squeamish about female bodily functions, now is a good time to skip to the next podcast. Well done, everyone who stayed. I've used cloth sand pros since my now 16-year-old daughter was in cloth nappies. We didn't start using cloth with her straight away because I needed to get over the initial culture shock of having a small baby, but we put her in cloth from about 3 months. And it seemed to me a natural progression to start using cloth towels for myself, and then we stopped using tissues. So for the last 16 years, we've had a basket of cut-up sheets, cloths, muslins, clothes, etc., etc., which we use for everything under the sun, including nose blowing. They go in a plastic bucket in the utility room and have a 60-degree wash, and no one's died yet. The most recent recruit to that was an old Bowden skirt I had, a lovely, thin, very, very pretty rose-printed linen skirt that I managed to snag on something in the garden. I mean, I'd worn it to death anyway, so that's the most recent thing I've cut up and put in there. Now, I'm still using those same cloths that I bought when Polly was a baby, and say she's 16 now. And don't tell her I told you, but she's recently chosen to use those towels as well, rather than disposable, even at school. And I was really astonished, but I was delighted. So I've just ordered a couple of new towels. First, I've ordered for years, 15, 16 years. They are a bit longer than the ones I've been using, because that's a need that I've identified. And I know that between us, we'll get a lot of use from them. How much money I must have saved over those 16 years. I mean, I could probably try and sit and tot it up, but honestly, you have to be talking hundreds, absolutely. But it struck me that I might be able to make something. Now, although I'm talking about this here, I'm not someone to advertise to the world when I have my period. Although sometimes I'm popping mefenamic acid like sweeties, I'm waddling around like a duck that swallowed a beach ball, so it can be hard to, you know, to hide it as such. But I live in horror of a public leak or whatever. I'm certainly not someone who's banging their drum about it. So whatever I use or come up with has to be absolutely bombproof. And I've been thinking, racking my brains, thinking if we have anything that already that I could use as a waterproof backing. I can't think of anything. The only thing I've got, it sounds a bit weird, is some remnants of a blackout material. My son has a blackout blind in his bedroom because just when he goes to bed in the summer is just when the sun is setting facing into his bedroom window. So I've got a couple of lovely big bits that do that. I've got some offcuts, and it does feel like it would be waterproof, but at the same time it seems a curious use for it, so I'll hang on to that. But I think what I'm going to have to do is buy a small piece of polar fleece, or possibly PUL, to use as a backing. I'm going to have to look into that a little bit more closely. I always liked stuffable nappies because of the flexibility it gave you, so I'm going to go for the same principle here. Also, they dry so quickly because you just take the middle bit out, you wash everything separately, and it dries so much more quickly than if you've got a great absorbent mass, a great wad in the middle of this towel or nappy that has to dry before you can use it again. So as well as that, I'm going to use cotton for the top. This is the bit that comes into contact with me. And I've just turned my office upside down looking for some mercerised cotton, because I was absolutely sure I had some. I bought quite a lot years ago, planning to make baby bibs with it. I don't know exactly what it is they do to it, but mercerised cotton has been through a process that means it stands up well to the sort of acidic baby dribble and being wet and staying wet for a while, that sort of thing. It copes very well with that, so it seemed to me to be ideal for this, but I can't find it. I've come to the conclusion I must just have used it up. So instead, I've found a skein of Navy Susan Crawford Croquette Vintage 4-ply cotton, which was a freebie I picked up. And I was looking at 4-ply just because I wanted to have quite small stitches on that top piece. That was my theory. But the other thing I have lots of is the King Cole Bamboo Cotton Solids DK that I bought for making my mother a face cloth at Christmas. I've got absolutely, I mean, I got an ordinary size skein, but I really didn't end up using that much. And given the size of piece that I'm looking at knitting, I could get lots out of what I've got left. I wanted thinner than a DK, but bamboo, I've read, is absolutely ideal for this type of use due to its natural properties. And I can use a small needle. It's quite a silk, because it moves quite silkily. So if you're using a small needle to get a small stitch, I don't think it would be too difficult to manipulate, which isn't always the case when you're using a needle, which is a little smaller than recommended. So I might actually try that first. Also happens to be bright red. It's important not to use wool for this, because over the time, as you wash it, it will felt. and felting interferes with absorbency, which is great when it's your bottommost layer, but not when you need it to absorb what you're depositing onto it. So my theory is to make this knitted top and sew it on the two long sides and one of the short sides onto polar fleece or PUL, and then put backing. I'll cut the polar fleece or the PUL in this kind of wing shape and put poppers on them. That's my theory. Theory is a marvellous thing. And this is the broad principle that most of the cloth towels I see for sale operate on. So I'm sure I won't get it quite right first time, but I'm really quite keen now, I'm quite motivated now to make this work and see how I go with it. And honestly, there is just nothing as satisfying as using what you've got to meet a need. You consider all the energy and resources that have already gone into making this yarn and all the things that I would use to stuff it with, and it's just brilliant to think that's all done. I've already got it, and the only thing I would need to buy is a bit of polar fleece or PUL. But, you know, probably if I look around in the charity shops, there's a wonderful shop in Leinster that sells all sorts of sewing and crafting items, and it's exactly the kind of thing that they would have in there, and that's all been donated to them. So that's great. You know, it gives me something I want at a low price. It gives them a bit of a donation, and it uses up a remnant that some generous person has donated to them. So, you know, as long as it works the way I think it will work, it ends up being a win-win-win-win-win. Something I've had great success with this last week is a washing up scrubby. I've wanted to find a good pattern for ages because I've become very attached to these foam washing up sponges, the kind of slightly rectangular ones with the green roughened top. And as well as saving money, I'd just like to stop buying more plasticky things, but I do like these foam ones because I find them really effective at producing loads of suds, and they do a great job on the washing up. We have a dishwasher. I don't wash up everything, but I always seem to be washing up all sorts of plastic odds and ends, Tupperwares and so on, and school bottles and stuff like that just fly around the dishwasher if I try and put them in it. So I've kind of had half an eye out for a while, and this week I decided I was really going to actually bother properly. I found a Stacey Perry pattern that uses tulle, but I don't have any tulle. And the reason I've been quite fussy about finding the right pattern is that I've used things like cloths that I already have, for instance, and I just find them really feeble. I need something with a bit of bite, a bit of attitude, a bit of structure. And I came across Stephanie Lindner's spongy dishcloth. This is a free Ravelry download. I was drawn to it because she mentions in the blurb that it foams up well, which is exactly the quality that I've been looking for. The pattern is written for Aran yarn, but I decided to use two strands of 5-ply because I have absolutely tons of a lilac marl that I want to use up. This yarn is a 70-30 cotton acrylic mix, so I think quite hard wearing for these purposes. The way that the pattern is written, you cast on, you join to knit in the round, do 7 repeats of an extremely simple and easy pattern, do a 3-needle bind off to close up one end, weave in, and you're done. So you've effectively got a little pocket. If you want to, you can put your hand in it. I don't. I end up using it just holding it as a piece. But because it opens up like that, it makes it really easy to rinse through. And you can just hang it up on a hook or something to dry. And because, the same principle as the towels and the nappies I was just talking about, because it opens up, it dries much better. And, you know, if you have something like that that doesn't dry properly, it can start to smell a bit horrible. So that ease of drying, that airflow, is, I think that's a real strength. So it's very, very simple. It takes an evening. I loved the first one that I'd done, so I thought I'd make one for my mum. Why not? But I decided on a little tweak. So instead of casting on, then joining to knit in the round, I used Judy's Magic Cast On, which is the same one I use for sock toes. Now, this is one that I do purely from muscle memory. But essentially, you have your two needles. I was doing this on a circular needle. You have your two needles side by side. You loop your yarn over one of the needles, and then you're basically taking your yarn back and forth. I'm not trying to give instructions because I'd be hopeless at it, but essentially you're just twisting your yarn back and forth over the needles in such a way that you've created your bottom piece where your piece turns from one side to the other, and exactly the point where a sock turns over the end of your toes from the top of the top of the foot to the bottom. So I just decided to use that instead. And that all worked absolutely fine, though my mum uses it to wash her face rather than her dishes, but there you go, lead a horse to water. So I decided to experiment with a 5-ply from the same range as the Lilac Marl, but that has a silver fleck in it. This is an actual, you know, a physical, scratchy little silver fleck, and I thought it might be a little bit tougher on the dishes that need some abrasion, a sort of my version of a Brillo pad, only not very. But as far as it went, it worked well. So that was me made 3. I then decided to test making it with the Aran yarn that the pattern's written for. So when I say the Aran yarn, I don't mean the exact one she mentions in the pattern, but just a cotton Aran. Cotton tends to be the go-to for these sorts of things. So I used up an oddment of King Cole recycled cotton Aran. I've used it so much for baby knitting, and then this jumper I made for Polly recently, I've got so much of this knocking around. So it was the obvious thing to use. But I wasn't nearly so pleased with it. It was just a bit, you know, just a bit feeble. I can't think of a better word. And I realised that the double strand of 5-ply gives the scrubby a real structure. All that extra surface area really goes to giving it some structural integrity. And the thing will actually stand up on its own dry, not just, you know, when it's laden with water. Whereas the 10-ply, the Aran, just sort of gives up immediately. I mean, it's not too bad for washing up, but I much, much prefer the other one. So I'm now partway through the 5th version, and this is one strand of the Lilac Marl with some other 5-ply that I had to hand. It's a navy blue, and I thought it might make quite a nice effect, the navy and the blue, but I can tell already that the other 5-ply, it just doesn't have the strength of the Lilac Marl. So I'm only partway through, and I might just, to be quite honest, I might just end up pulling it out because I don't know that it's really worth it. I'll save the navy 5-ply for something it's much better suited to. So yeah, so that old Aldi Lilac Marl that I've got 10 tons of is absolutely brilliant for washing up cloths. Who knew? I have my eye on another new project. I've got tickets for the first Doddy Weir Cup rugby match in November. That's Wales v Scotland in Cardiff, and this is in aid of Doddy Weir, who's an ex-Scotland international who has developed motor neurone disease and is doing a tremendous amount to raise money for research. And this is a new international fixture, and I'm really, really delighted that we're going to the first one and thrilled to be making our, albeit very tiny, little contribution. And I want to wear a hat that indicates my blue and white allegiance. Now, I've got to be a little bit careful because I look truly dreadful in the wrong hat. Acrylic yarns send my hair into a static meltdown, but I have found a pattern I like. It's by Caron International Yarns, that's Caron, and it's called the Slip Stitch Beret. And it appeals to me because it's very slouchy. When it, in the model, you know, there's a large area of hat sort of sitting flat, not hugging her crown, but sort of sitting sagging in a flat piece at the back of the head. It probably doesn't sound very attractive, but I thought that I might be able to put my own decorative pattern onto it once I've established how much of that area I can sensibly work with. So I might be able to put the Scottish Rugby logo on it or sort of something like that. It's a little bit of an unknown quantity at the moment. So in the short term, I'm going to knock one out with a blue and white Aran yarn that I already have and that I can just toss into the mufflements bag as a spare, because I'm imagining it would just drive my hair too mad. I won't be able to wear it. But if I broadly like the end result, I'm going to have to choose a yarn with real care for the real thing. I have a suspicion that cotton or bamboo might be a bit floppy, wool makes me itchy, and acrylic makes my hair stand on end. So suggestions on a postcard, please. I'm really keen to get on with that, but I am at a loss as to what type of yarn I would use. And I did wonder if there is any sort of woolen or partly woolen yarn which is known for being kind to people who otherwise react badly to lanolin. So if you know of something, I'd really be delighted to hear. But I'm really keen to get on with that. My hands are sort of itching to pick up the needles, to be honest, and churn something out. So washing up scrubbies, towels, hats and skirts will all keep me busy for now, and I have a few name tapes to stick on the new uniform we're picking up over the holiday, plus I did a load of Cubs badges recently, and Arcala tells me there will be new badges handed out in September, so that's marvellous, and my son's on the verge of growing out of his Cubs jumper. I think by January he'll need a new one, so that's just all going to be marvellous, that is, I really can't wait. Whatever your crafty pursuits are this week, I hope you enjoy them, and I look forward to being back with you soon. Bye!